God has really blessed me. You know, he let me work in D.C., let me work with EIB in Hollywood, in Silicon Valley. And he's shown me through all those experiences that there is one problem and one solution, and that's why we do this show.
Welcome to A Disciple's View with Todd Herman.
When the God of the universe created the world, he didn't snap his fingers or wink his eye, he spoke. The Lord said, "Let there be light." Because we believe, we speak about the happenings in this world as we remain mindful that our true home is with Jesus Christ and his kingdom. I'm Todd Herman. Welcome to Disciples View. Joe Biden spoke last night, and I'm going to do something very strange. I'm going to obey. No, I obey God. I try. I've gotten better at it. There's parts of life where I don't want to obey God. There's better plans. I've got better ideas. Of course, I know I'm absurd when I say that. I've tried those things. And yet, I do try to obey God, getting better at it. But I'm going to obey the Democrat National Committee. I don't normally do that. I'm going to obey not what they say, because what people say pales in comparison to what they do. This is a huge lesson for parents. Children watch what we do, not necessarily what we say. I mean, they'll hear what we say. They'll regard it, but they'll balance it against what we do. My daughter is in a serious relationship. We really like the young man. He's leaning into Christ. He's in fact told me he's committed his life to Christ several years ago. He's leaning into becoming a more mature Christian. He's acting upon these things, reading a book I gave him, being honest with me in conversation. And so my daughter and I have been having talks about my wife and I and our marriage, which I jokingly refer to as the perfect marriage. We had a tough talk the other day, but some of the tough times in our marriage. And my daughter said, "Oh, I know." "Oh, you do? Yeah, I figured that was going on. I knew you and Mom were having problems." So she was watching what we did. And 28 years later, 28 years later, I get to say, "Yeah, and guess what? We're still here. We're still here." So I am watching what the Democrat National Committee's done and what they're doing. So we're not going to play a single clip of the figure yet. We'll play it tomorrow. Play clips of Biden tomorrow. But for now, I would rather focus on what they don't want us to focus on, which is that they illegally pushed that man out. Now, to be clear, and I know there's people on this network with whom I disagree on this, and I can love them anyway. I believe the election was, I know the election was rigged. I believe it was stolen. I believe the way they stole it was by flooding the system with so many mail-in ballots. It was easy to fake signatures, easy to use the cloud prevent strategy to flood the system. There was the famous, infamous case of the guy who was a postal worker or a contractor for the Postal Service who trucked, filled in ballots, completed ballots from one state to another late at night. I think they did this by flooding the machines, by double counting ballots, by knowing that there is no way to count to catch fraud in this. In some cases, I think they created votes digitally. There was an Arkansas newspaper that wrote about these votes coming out in integers of 200, blocks of 200, so 200, 400, 600, 800. I watched the data change. I used to work around raw data. I sold a big data company to one of the world's largest PR firms at the time, the largest. I know what structured and unstructured data looks like. That was structured. So the figurehead was not, in my mind, ever legitimately elected. And I'll have that conversation with anybody. Here's a quick starter to it. When they said that was the safest, most secure election in history, want a fun question to ask someone? Say, "What was second place?" They'll stare at you. And they'll go, "What? What was second place? What was second place?" The honest answer is they don't know, because they've never ranked elections for safest, most secure. It was a talking point. It was a lie. They don't know which was the safest, most secure election in history. I would argue there's more reason to believe this was the least secure in history. Changing the rules 90 days before the election will do that. Allowing drop boxes, people dropping off 200 to 400 ballots at a time. That's begging for fraud. That's neither safe nor secure. Not checking signatures or ID, counting ballots past the date that the election wrapped up. That's not safe and it's not secure. So it was a lie. And we're not to lie. So you could call it a protest or say it's petulant, but I'm looking at the DNC. After Biden was, in my judgment, illegitimately installed, they illegitimately uninstalled him. The 25th Amendment is not a tool for blackmail. The 25th Amendment is something to be used in a very serious and, I think, prayerful way when a president can no longer perform his duty. And Joe Biden couldn't and can't. Maybe never could at this time in his life. Secondly, he's a thief. Thou shalt not steal. He's a thief on gargantuan levels. But they illegally moved him out. He even said so. He didn't say illegally, but he said they pressured him out. That's illegal. We talked about this yesterday with Jack Smith, the beleaguered prosecutor who tried to put President Trump in prison for doing something under the same law, which is a conspiracy against rights, the rights of 14 million people taken away from them, their right to vote for Joe Biden, who spoke last night. We're not going to play a word he said. Because the DNC has shown us he doesn't matter. Never did. Just a note to Kamala Harris, you don't either. You matter to God. You may not want to know that, but you do. But you don't matter to the people who run you. Tim Walz, you don't matter either. They would do the same thing to you in 5 seconds. I don't think the DNC minds that much that Antifa, it looked like the forces of Antifa were outside trying to shut things down, breaking fences, making ridiculous Antifa-style noises. I think that they knew this was going to happen. Although I saw Democrats saying, wait a minute, you're protesting the wrong party. No, these are pro-Hamas rioters and demonstrators. They want only Hamas to get the funding. They don't like the fact that figurehead or the people who around the figurehead are funding both sides of the war. Doesn't God have a covenant with the Jewish people? Oh, he does, doesn't he? There's not a leg of the Democrat Party that doesn't stand adverse to God. And look, one can have plenty of problems with the political state of Israel. I do. It's controlled by Big Pharma. It's taken the knee to the sexual left. That in and of itself is turning away from God. But that's the government. The Israelis, Israel, the tribe, 12 tribes of Israel, existed before the country. Lord has a covenant with them. We're grafted into that covenant. It wouldn't be the Democrat National Committee without Randy Weingarten, one of the big bosses of big school, talking about everything but school.
Or family leave, or health care, or housing. Any of the things that are important. Every single day, we need to fight to get Kamala Harris and Tim Walz elected. Are you ready? Are you ready? Are you ready?
Man, she's getting people jazzed. It's kind of a funny video. I don't mean to make fun of her stature. I don't body shame. But it was poorly set up. The big D in front of her actually makes her look like a head floating in space. She's not a very tall woman. So we're not playing the figurehead. We're going to play the things they don't want you to see. For instance, this. Kamala Harris and Tim Walz made a video mocking white people. And Tim Walz is lying in this video. They're acting. These are paid actors. Hypocrites, as we talked about yesterday. That's what that word originally meant until the Lord Jesus decided to use it for the religious technocrats of his time, who were like the Tony Faucis of our time, or of his time. They were like the people behind the scenes, although I guess they were public in that way. Make way for the great Pharisees. Here's their little skit. That'll tell you some inside information about this little skit.
Like, I have white guy tacos and
what is
like
that?
Black,
like mayonnaise and tuna? What are you doing?
Pretty much ground beef and cheese.
That's okay. Do you put any flavor in it?
No.
Oh.
Here's the deal. No, they said to be careful and let her know this, that black pepper is the top of the spice level in Minnesota, you know?
I'm the first vice president, I believe, who has ever grown chili peppers.
I'm trying to expand my food knowledge.
You know what? We've got some cantaloupes. You'll be fine.
Yeah. So this is Kamala Harris making fun of white people and Tim Harris playing the dopey white guy.
I'm sitcom Tim. Don't! Stupid Lisa, I didn't know purple was a fruit. What? It's not. Oh, here's a fun fact. In 2016, then Representative Tim Walz, same guy, took first place at Senator Al Franken's sixth annual hot dish off. The recipe was for turkey taco hot dish, which contains green chilies, taco sauce, and chili powder, all hotter than black pepper. And it happens that Kamala Harris, of course, is married to a white guy. She also did a skit with him. Well, with him and then with Tim, they did two takes. She went into a store pretending to buy Doritos. Pretending to buy Doritos. They did one take with her talking to her husband. Oh, Doug, there you are. Oh, hi, sweetie. I love you so much. You white mayonnaise cantaloupe eating white man. I love you so much. Cut. Let's try one with Tim. Oh, Tim, there you are. What are you shopping for? Mayonnaise? I keep doing that. So Joe Biden spoke last night. Huh. Wow. I bet the DNC would like us to play that. But they've shown us that they don't care about him. That Joe Biden doesn't matter. Fact of the matter is, neither does Kamala Harris. Neither does Tim Walz. But most strikingly, neither do the 14 million people who voted not for Kamala Harris, but Joe Biden. That's stealing. She stole this position. Thou shalt not steal, for she coveted it. Don't covet. Don't lie. Don't deceive. Don't lord your power over others. They're doing all these things. There is not an element in Democrat Party platforms or at a national level in personalities that is not adverse to God. This is a civil rights leader, civil rights activist. He says that people are getting bribed to do interviews with Kamala Harris. Black opinion makers getting bribed to do these interviews with Kamala Harris.
Y'all carried on because y'all got paid to carry on. Kamala Harris and the Democratic plantation is paying you celebrities, paying you to shame black people into voting. Y'all know we not going to get nothing out of that vote. Y'all know we not going to get nothing out of that vote. Y'all know we not going to get nothing out of the vote, but they being paid. Y'all being bought. They offer me $10K for an interview with Kamala Harris. I don't want your money, but we can definitely do the interview. They offer me $10K for an interview with Kamala Harris. Yes, we can do the interview. Keep your money. King Kong consciousness ain't for sale. I'm one of the real ones.
I've been offered money to do interviews, and I've refused. Because when you are getting paid to do an interview, you're getting paid to ask questions they tell you to ask. And I have a little bit of a footprint. Praise God. Thank you for that. And AFR. And you. This man is one of many who says that the Kamala Harris campaign is hiring actors to pretend to be supporters, especially people who will fake having a Southern accent.
Are you a struggling actor looking for your next big break, or perhaps looking for a reason to practice your regional Southern accents that you've been working on? Well, the DNC has a role for you. Now, they're not looking for actors, not actors, but they will pay you per diem, pay for meals and expenses, and fly you out, cover all travel as well. Now, for this non-role role, you will be an authentic Democrat supporter. Doesn't that sound lovely? Now, my favorite part about this is that they're super encouraging regional accents, regional Southern accents, because they want the authenticity to show through, because nothing says authentic like being paid for your supporter.
Right, and faking a Southern accent. So Joe Biden spoke last night, and I just debated the Democrats. What they showed us, he doesn't matter. We'll come back on The Disciples View. appreciate you listening to Disciples View. I'm Todd Herman. We'll get to the Tower of Babbling next segment, as well as some new information about the assassination attempt on President Trump. And the fact, the undeniable fact that there was 2 minutes. I mean, we know about all the time beforehand, this guy being allowed to walk around for an hour, half hour beforehand. He had a rangefinder, which is a device only used to figure out how far away something is before you shoot at it. I guess you could use it if you're a photographer, but if you could afford that, you'd buy a camera that has its own rangefinder. There was 2 minutes. Well, local police were desperately trying to get on the roof to prevent this shooting, which took the life of Corey Carpentori. And 2 minutes there, in which there should have been no doubt that the Secret Service and Department of Homeland Security should have pulled President Trump off that stage. It's undeniable. And I have some new information about what the FBI does not want you to know. We'll get to that, because the FBI is absolutely refusing to play by the FOIA request rules, as I see it. There is good news on what some people want to call the culture war front. It's really the spiritual war. Spiritual war being fought politically. You know about the 5-4 decision Supreme Court allowed lower courts to block the people who run Joe Biden and the Title IX sex discrimination rule. This is the rule wherein the people who run Joe Biden are trying to force people to pretend men are women. It's a forced speech law. It's satanic. It is wrong in every possible regard. Now, this doesn't end it. There's still going to have to be a Supreme Court ruling on it. One of the people who voted with the leftists, the statists, the Bidenites, the spiritually captured, is Justice Gorsuch. Now, I haven't read, and I don't know that Gorsuch has published an opinion on this, and perhaps his opinion is, no, we should actually decide this case. Sometimes justices like Gorsuch do a vote like this so that the media doesn't get to say, in a divided ideologically, or a decision divided along ideological lines, the conservatives versus the liberals. Sometimes justices do that. They shouldn't. They shouldn't do that. I understand the instinct to want to protect the reputation of the court. But it's very disturbing if Gorsuch actually believes that the government has the capability to decide there's no such thing as men and women. At that point, he is utterly, utterly fallen. Utterly untrustworthy. Now, people do fall. I just hope this isn't the case with Gorsuch. I don't know this woman. I probably won't meet her. Her name is Jerusha Duford. She is Billy Graham's daughter. Granddaughter. I believe she's fallen. I didn't follow Billy Graham. When I grew up in Spokane, Washington, I was with teens, like all teens, hang out with teens. And I wasn't with the long hair crowd necessarily. I played football and wrestled, but my racing crew, because my dad brought me up racing cars from the time I was 7. And I've told you this story. I raced stock cars when I was 14, 15, and open wheeled modifieds against adults. My dad loved racing and he afforded me a great opportunity. My friends in racing were long hairs, and a lot of them smoked dope. Thank God I never did. I was afraid of pot. Thank God. So they would look at Billy Graham and make fun of him and deride him. So I took their word at what Billy Graham was. It wasn't until I was in my mid-20s that I began to read Billy Graham and then watch Billy Graham and then understand what a great evangelist for the Lord Jesus he was and what a principled man Billy Graham was. Billy Graham taught me a prayer construct I use to this day and I teach to others. It is simply to open the prayer by saying, "Dear Lord God, I pray to you as you know yourself, not as I think of you, as you know yourself to be, not as I think of you." It's a way to open a prayer sometimes, and clearly I pray to God the Father, pray through the Lord Jesus to God the Father, but sometimes I use that prayer, particularly when I feel like I'm trying to limit God's oversight and abilities and power. So I pray to you as you know yourself to be, not as I think of you. So I just love Billy Graham in that way. He's been a life changer for me ever since I grew up in my mid-20s, or started the process of growing up. So I guess I want to be surprised. I'm not. about what Billy Graham's granddaughter has done. She has joined up with Evangelicals for Harris. And if you keep track of what Evangelicals for Harris actually is, it's also Evangelicals for Abortion, Evangelicals for Child Mutilation, Evangelicals for Pornography in Grade Schools, and Evangelicals for many things more. Stealing elections through, at the very least, rigging the Electoral College system. So you can't be Christian and hold to what Kamala Harris wants to do to children. You can believe in God. You can even think you worship him. But you can't abide with Christ while you continue to sponsor these ongoing sins. Can't. You're separating yourself from the Lord. So this is her statement she made during an Evangelicals for Harris event.
I've always stated that my president doesn't have to be a Christian, but I am and will be watching for my faith leaders support actions that reflect mercy, justice, and humility, and for my faith leaders to rebuke actions that are the antithesis of that.
Okay, so let's just unpack that a little bit. She started her statement, and I didn't get this part, but she started her statement by saying that the reason this is so much more than politics for her is because President Trump said on tape that women would let you grab their genitals if you were famous. He said it to Billy Bush. It was an ugly, ugly statement that President Trump made prior to being president. He's been accused of grabbing women that way. I can understand anyone being disturbed by that. I was disturbed by that. We have watched Joe Biden grab little girls, molesting them. One of the girls he molested actually said, yes, he was molesting me. Okay, over the clothes, but that makes it okay to grab a little girl's, preteen girl's breast buds? No, that's molestation. We watched it. The various sniffings Joe Biden has done of women, the various wildly inappropriate caresses we've watched, the marrying of his child's babysitter, her sitting on his lap when he was still a married man and she was a teen girl, we watched. That's photographic evidence. It's video evidence. So her initial reason for voting for Harris is wrong. It's at worst a tie, or at best a tie. At worst, Biden's on film doing the things President Trump is accused of doing or said he did, or he said they would let you do it. He never said he did it. They will let you. He didn't say he'd done it. They will let you. Biden did it to a little girl. So when she's talking here about humility and caring, that she wants to see in her politicians as from her faith leaders. Humility is Tim Walz saying to parents, I don't care if you refuse to believe or pretend your boy is a girl. I'm going to go ahead and give them wrong sex hormones. I will. I'll arrange it. I will arrange for them to have wrong sex surgeries. I don't care what you think. Tim Walz saying it is un-American to tell little kids they can't read porn. That's humility. Kamala Harris saying she will seize the patents of companies that don't do what she wants. That's humility. There is never a point in which, that would be stealing their patents, by the way. There is never a point that Evangelicals for Harris is aligned with the Bible. Not a single point.
Voting Kamala for me is so much greater than policies. It's a vote against another 4 years of faith leaders justifying the actions of a man who destroys the message Jesus came to spread.
So voting for Kamala is a way of not allowing faith leaders to put their faith in a non-Christian. That's what she's accusing President Trump of being. I'm on record saying I have not seen the humility that comes with full conversion to the Lord Jesus from President Trump. I'm on record with that. Now, I believe that changed after he was shot. I believe I've seen signs of that. But again, you're going to vote for Kamala Harris. Not just that, you're going to set up a group called, or helped set up a group called Evangelicals for Harris, that stands against everything the Bible says. Everything. To force faith leaders to not support President Trump. You're going to promote a guy who says he believes in God, who wants to ban many of these practices, who had the intent to reduce abortion through a Supreme Court appointment. You're going to say to faith leaders, I'm so angry that you're supporting this guy because he's not a Christian. I'm going to support someone who promotes and allows a Satanist, an open Satanist, to work in the White House running the monkeypox response. A Satanist and a sadomasochist. You don't get to do this and claim you're abiding. This has nothing to do. None of this bears the fruit of faith to me. What about to you? This is more from Jerusha Duford, Billy Graham's granddaughter.
And that is why I get involved in politics. I'm a therapist, and I try to leave my clients with what I call committed action steps. And the following are the ones I'd love for you to take with me. First, pray. Pray for the faith leaders in our country to take a stand for justice, mercy, and humility. Second, pledge. Take the Evangelicals for Harris pledge on our website, evangelicalsforharris.com. And lastly, service. Go perform actions of service in your neighborhood or community, and then come back and share your story with the Evangelicals for Harris campaign.
So let's keep track of all this humility, because she said it three or four times. Kamala Harris has never received a single vote from a single grassroots supporter in the Democrat National Committee, not one. And yet she is the party's nominee by virtue of the mega donors. Kamala Harris could have said, no, there needs to be an open convention. The people need to vote. We're a Democratic organization. We're called the Democrat National Committee, for gosh sakes. She didn't. That's humility. She is illegally using campaign funds donated to Biden Harris, not Harris Waltz. That's humility. She is allowing, sponsoring, promoting, cackling at, congratulating men for beating in the faces of women and breaking their noses in sports. That's mercy. That's caring. She is arming Hamas. They armed the Taliban. That's mercy. Hamas and the Taliban have some things in common. They follow a faith that I regard as satanic. They kill same-sex attracted people for being same-sex attracted. They pour acid, in the case of the Taliban, on little girls for going to school. It's illegal for them to go to school. And they've also armed Iran. A nation state on the verge of having nuclear weapons, thanks to them, that follows the same satanic faith and intends to see all Jewish people wiped from the face of the earth. There's another entity that wants the state of Israel destroyed and all Jewish people wiped off the face of the earth, and that's Satan, because then he'd have one of his, he thinks he could have victory against God that way. It's not going to happen because the Bible says it won't. Therefore, it hasn't. Well, it won't and hasn't. And never will. Because, of course, the Bible is the inerrant, complete, unchangeable, infallible word of God. So she's asking people to believe that President Trump's policies were lacking in mercy? The one policy that Trump had that I think truly lacked in mercy was where he decided to allow Tony Fauci to steal control of the country. And the 17 million deaths, I think globally, that came from the injections, many more from deaths of despair, that stuff's going to continue on. That lacks mercy. But that was a massive mistake. You could go page by page through the Bible and not find a single instance where anything that has to do with evangelicals for Harris lines up in any way, shape, matter, idea, faction, or form with the Bible. Starting in the beginning, you start in Genesis. God created us in his image, male and female. There you go, right off the bat. The first book of the Bible. You can fast forward through any of the books. You can go through the law on sexual morality and children. You can go through the law talking about you're not to sacrifice your children. Not to the Baals, not into volcanoes. But it's different when it's abortion at an industrial scale? No, it's not. Margaret Sanger was a woman involved in satanic sex rituals and a eugenicist. She hated black people. You can work your way up, and of course, into the New Testament. The Lord Jesus saying, and for this reason, a man leaves his mother and father and clings to his wife, and they become one flesh. Not clings to his partner. So I'll never meet probably Jerusha Difford. I'd be happy to have her in the program, have a polite conversation about this. But as it stands now, she has chosen politics over the Lord Jesus, in my judgment. We'll come back with the Tower Babbling. I'm Todd Herman. This is The Disciples' View. Thank you for listening to Disciples View. I'm Todd Herman. We'll get to the Tower of Babbling with four audio clips. So you owe us extra tips. We don't take tips. It's normally three. So the people at Judicial Watch have been issuing and getting responses to Freedom of Information Act requests for the events surrounding the attempted assassination of President Trump, the murder of Corgan Capitore, the shooting of another man. And wouldn't you know it, the FBI has said, nah, we're not going to do that. We may have the information, but we're not giving it to you, which is illegal. And Judicial Watch is preparing a lawsuit, of course. This is from the Judicial Watch website. Judicial Watch announced today that the Federal Bureau of Investigations withheld on a Freedom of Information Act request for information about its coordination with the U.S. Secret Service regarding the July 13 Butler, Pennsylvania rally at which former President Trump was shot. In denying Judicial Watch's FOIA request, the FBI cites FOIA Exemption 7A, which applies to information that could reasonably be expected to interfere with law enforcement proceedings. The Judicial Watch FOIA requests on July 26 asked for the following. All records of the FBI, including emails, email chains, email attachments, text messages, video or audio recordings, photographs, drawings, Outlook calendars, meeting minutes, finished intelligence products, bulletins, raw intelligence, threat products, correspondence, statements, letters, memoranda, reports, briefings, presentations, notes, summaries, or other forms of records regarding the preparation and coordination with the U.S. Secret Service for former President Donald Trump's presidential campaign rally that was held in Butler, Pennsylvania on July 13, 2024. Please provide records from June 15, 2024 to present. So the FBI said no. So let's just follow this through. The FBI tells us this was a lone shooter, and they released his body for cremation a couple days after the autopsy. Okay. That lone shooter was on a cell phone, on speakerphone from the rooftop, apparently talking to somebody. That lone shooter, apparently, according to cell phone data, was visited at his parents' home by someone who either works at the FBI or lives right next door to the FBI five times. That lone shooter was allowed to traipse around the facility for an hour. He was allowed to use a rangefinder, a device to determine how far away a target is before you shoot it. He was allowed on a rooftop in full sight of law enforcement. In fact, there's a new video that shows local law enforcement scrambling to try to get the guy off the rooftop to either arrest him or shoot him 2 minutes prior to President Trump being shot. That's 2 minutes in which they could have taken President Trump from the stage, but they didn't. So now the FBI, who said it's a simple case, it's a lone shooter, darn the luck, there were these mishaps, this could hinder the investigation. The investigation that's not being done. No one at the Secret Service has been fired. No one at the Secret Service is going to be fired. A disgraced former director stepped down. These are our documents. And point of fact is, you want to know what hinders this investigation? The FBI. The Federal Bureau of Investigations declared itself an enemy of President Trump when it decided from leadership down to pretend that President Trump was a foreign agent working for Vladimir Putin. That's declaring yourself an enemy. When they spied on Trump World, when they went over to try to get President Trump to lie, they tried to get him to perjure himself. In fact, the direct quote was, let's go see if we can make him lie. Make him lie. I mean, this is when they're talking about General Flynn. Let's go see if we can make him lie. Perjury trap. The FBI should have nothing to do with this investigation, but we don't have anywhere else to go. I mean, we could appoint a special prosecutor, but that would require the paper bully Merrick Garland to do this. We have this place to go. I am just about to the point, and I get this way sometimes, and maybe you do too, where sometimes I want to stop caring about this. Not about murder, not about the attempted murder President Trump, but sometimes I want to stop caring about politics, full stop. And I'll tell you why. It's not because I want to be an uninvolved citizen. We are to be good citizens as Christians. It's because it's so twisted and so corrupt, and it's, in my judgment, unless God decides otherwise, it's going to remain that way. Then I remind myself that the Lord Jesus lived when he was made himself fully man, fully God. He chose to live under a corrupt state, a corrupt and tyrannical state. And so I want to model myself more after how Jesus looked at these things. The concern of Jesus Christ was, is it affecting the kingdom of heaven? Now, if Jesus was allowed to vote, I think he would have voted, because it would be the responsibility of a good citizen to do that. And, of course, he said, look, give unto Caesar that which is Caesar's. But we don't have to care about it. Not to the degree that we care about eternity. And that's where I want to focus. Eternity. I want to care about that. And with every ounce of energy I pour into caring about a corrupt government that I don't think is going to get fixed, well, then that's less energy I can spend on the kingdom of heaven. That's where I'm at right now. I'd love to know where you're at with it. You can email me at thetoddhermanshow.com. On this program, we thank the Lord for placing supposedly wise people on tall towers of shaking sand with their feature called The Tower of Babel.
You know about the biblical truth of the Tower of Babel. A Disciple's View presents...
Culture is a reflection of our moment and our time. And present culture is the way we express how we're feeling about the moment.
The Tower of Babylon.
Yeah, four clips today. Instead of just the average, everyday three clips, you get a bonus. Oh, and it's all Kamala Harris. The figurehead VP who hopes to be installed as figurehead president, and maybe even win, even though she's been installed as the nominee in an anti-democratic fashion. Kamala Harris appears to believe that Joe Biden and her have done a just bang-up job.
Our country has come a long way since President Biden and I took office.
Oh, okay, well, that's good. I mean, it's good that you've made such progress. And so what sort of progress have you made? In soundbite number two, Kamala Harris, who has been in office with Joe Biden for about 4 years, who we're told is the last person in the room on every major decision. It's just she and Joe. Joe with his tight intellect and aware of the facts and mentally crisp. And Kamala Harris with her deep, in-depth, studied understanding of all the details and nuances of policy positions, such as our important partnership, as she said, with North Korea. It's actually South Korea, but, you know, she's got a grip on things. Soundbite number two in today's Tower Babbling.
A loaf of bread cost 50% more today than it did before the pandemic. Ground beef is up almost 50%.
Wait, so I'm confused because clip number one said...
Our country has come a long way since President Biden and I took office.
Huh. Well, then how did we get to soundbite number two where Kamala Harris is talking about the fact that her policies, or rather the policies of the people who run Joe Biden and herself, have led to that inflation? Maybe she can further explain this in soundbite number three, since Kamala Harris, as you know, has a studied grip on all the positions, such as the studied grip that they're going to employ price controls. Price controls on grocery stores, which operate, by the way, on a 1 to 1.5% margin. So they're going to say, you can't sell food for any more than this. But what about when the commercial property rent goes up, which it will, and wages go up, which it will, because of what she's demanding of employers? Well, then what? Well, that doesn't matter, because now you're just talking facts, and don't confuse feelings with facts. So maybe Kamala Harris can further explain the great progress that she says the country has made under figurehead Biden and herself.
And sadly, right now, it is out of reach for far too many American families.
She's talking about buying houses. But wait, hold on. I am really getting lost, because you had said in soundbite number one,
our country has come a long way since President Biden and I took office.
And in the soundbite number two,
a loaf of bread cost 50% more today than it did before the pandemic. Ground beef is up almost 50%.
Then talking about housing and young people trying to buy houses, you said,
and sadly, right now, it is out of reach for far too many Americans.
Now, look, in her defense, she's not saying these things. Her teleprompter is. So the people who run her are saying these things. She simply provides the mouth real estate for these things to come through as spoken word. Soundbite number four in today's Tower Babbling from a woman who's been in the Oval Office for 4 years.
So now is the time to chart a new way forward.
Yes.
Now is the time to chart a new way forward.
Yes, she repeats the line for clarity and to continue to inspire others. And that's a wrap for today's Tower Babbling.
That was the Tower of Babbling.
I don't have anything to share with all of you at this time, and I'll just leave it there.
On a Disciple's View.
Funny things can happen during small bits of conversation. I try not to buy things anymore at convenience stores, because my wife quite correctly called me out for the amount of money I was spending at convenience stores. And honestly, it was not unconscious, but it wasn't an intentional decision. I was just looking at the credit cards, and my wife showed me, like, wow, I am owned by convenience stores. There's still one I go to. And yeah, I get gas there. But there's something else. Tiny little conversations sometimes are planting seeds we just don't know about. There is a little bait shop and convenience store down the street from where we live. It just got sold, and some out-of-towners bought it. We're a town of 600 people. That made the news. I mean, we don't have a newspaper, but it made the local chatter. The bait shop has been sold, and the gas station we all adore. Right now, the same people are working there. But I don't see that lasting. I see them making all sorts of changes, from the homemade deli stuff they used to cook. They had the greatest deviled eggs, farm fresh eggs from right out and back. And the lady who made those was a genius. She had the exact right mix of mustard and mayonnaise and a little bit of horseradish in there and some dill. Unbelievably good. And it's a convenience store. So now it's all this flown in frozen food, and they're trying to pass it off as the same, but it's not. So throughout these years, these 4 years of living here, I've just had tiny little conversations with people. And recently, I became aware of how one of those conversations paid off. I would go in sometimes on Sunday morning and buy gas early, realizing I'm on my way to church, I'm out of gas, I try not to be below half a tank. So to me, half a tank, going below half a tank is out. I just want to be ready to have to take my family out of danger if in case that happens. It's just the way I am. I'm a prepper. So I stopped to get my gas on this Sunday morning, and I just mentioned I'm going to church. Just, hey, what do you do? Oh, I head to church. Where do you go to church? Oh, I go to Real Life Ministries. Oh, everybody goes there. I hate it. It's big. Yeah, it's a big church. You don't hate big churches? No, I used to. And we'd have this conversation from time to time. You still going to Real Life? Yeah. Yeah, I just can't like it. It's just too big. I just hate it. It's just too big. Yeah, no, you said that. So one day I said to her, this lady who works there, where do you go to church? She goes, oh, I don't go to church. Nope. I believe in God. I really love God. I read my Bible, but I don't go to churches. You don't like big churches. What about small churches? I don't like being known. Oh. So big churches are too big, but you don't like being known. Right. Oh, okay. Right. Does that work for God? She laughs. I laugh. It's a joke. It's just a joke. Praise God. The other day, I went in on Sunday, and she was just coming in the door. She walked up to me, woman in her 70s. She took my hand. Guess where I was? Where? Church. Which church did you go to? Yours. It's too big. Well, that way I don't have to be known. Okay. That way you can hide. Right. Funny thing. Saw her face in the new member role. Right next to a bunch of other people. I know how the new member process works. She's going to end up in a life group. A small life group. I'm not taking credit for this. I have no idea. I just know I'm one of many people who talk to her about church. I'm guessing that's the sort of community in which we live. Praise God. He's still working. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Because we believe, we speak. Because He first loved us, we speak His Word. We walk in the path of Jesus Christ to make disciples of all nations. Until God gives us permission to speak again together, may His peace that transcends all understanding wash over you and your families. On behalf of AFR and Randy, I'm Todd Herman. This has been A Disciples View.